Welcome to East Meets West number 30. I'm Tom Merritt.
Oh my god, I'm Roger Chang and I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it.
You always do this to me, Chang. You're a little bit hot and I'm not trying to hit on you.
Hey, whatever, dude, levels. You know.
You sandbagged the levels again. Now you're clipping.
Do you want to restart?
No.
Okay.
No. This will be fun for the listeners.
Whatever.
Hear a live sound check.
Hey, Roger's hot. Get your hands off my thigh,
Tom. Roger's hot.
You don't need to put your
that sounds like the
paws
shit that
on me,
the
dude.
Lost podcast people do. You know, get your hand off my thigh, Damon.
Who's Damon?
Damon Lindelof.
Who's this?
And Carlton Cuse.
Who's this person you've been doing a podcast without me with, huh?
Not me.
You dirtbag.
Their podcast, not
oh,
our.
There. Now, there's a movie what? You got to watch. This is Clerks 2.
Oh, they're showing. We're making the mistake of having the TV on while we're doing this one again, and they're showing
Jay
Clerks
and Silent
2.
Bob.
You just saw an interesting movie.
Yes, I just watched Scanner Darkly. It's Philip K. Dick. Is that his name?
Yes, that is the. It's based on a Philip K. Dick novel.
And I mustn't say I was really, really impressed. I was really intrigued because it's essentially a cel shaded movie. They film the movie in live action. And
Richard
then,
Linklater, the director.
Yes. And they post process it with a CG on top of it to kind of accentuate the
positive.
And more of the drug-induced kind of feel that our protagonists and characters in the movie go through.
Yeah, I liked that book, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing the movie myself. I found out something interesting. Roger has never read a Philip K. Dick book.
No, I have not.
And I, on the other hand, have read almost every Philip K. Dick book, although they're difficult to read all of them. There's a lot of short stories.
Yeah. it's interesting because, you know, I didn't realize this about Dick, but
call him Phil.
About Dick is that okay,
we're
about
gonna lose
Phil.
Our clean rating.
Okay, about Phil is he was actually a very into at that segment in, or port time in his life in the many of the drugs as well as hallucinogenics that were available,
yeah,
including LSD. Am I not correct in that?
I believe so. He was crazy. He was one of those brilliant, crazy people. I mean, he at one point in his life thought that
maybe
alien ship was beaming information to him.
Hey, wait a minute. Are you sure you're not mixing that in with L. Ron Hubbard?
No.
Okay.
This is if Philip K. Dick had been a little more functioning and a little earlier in life, he could have been L. Ron Hubbard for sure. Like if he'd thought of starting a religion or a movement or whatever you call it, I think Phil Dick could have pulled it off. But Philip K. Dick was a little too crazy, a little too non-functioning.
It's what's interesting because, you know, in the Wikipedia, of course, they have all these links and entries to everything else, and I just find the link, you know, from LSD, you know, that was on his page.
Uh-huh.
And it was really interesting because eventually ended up on doing a search on Google, and I found this YouTube video of this 1950s, I'm not sure if it's a true military kind of, I guess a movie recording or a document documenting the effects of LSD.
Uh-huh.
Essentially, what they have to do is a platoon of
is this British.
Yes.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah.
I blogged that.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I put that on the My Sub-Brilliant blog at one point. Like.
Well,
late last year.
And
it's a hilarious video. I thought we talked about it on East Meets West.
I don't think.
But we've been around 30 episodes, so it's hard to keep track.
Yes, it's true. But it's I was watching, I was laughing. And
yeah,
it's
hilarious.
And it's really interesting because learning about the attempted uses for LSD, you know, amongst the CIA and the military, it was really, really interesting.
All right, let's take a
question.
Gander at some of our comments from East Meets West 29.
Woohoo!
Andy Melton got first post honors, said, holy cow burgers.
Mm.
The show went by really quickly. You know what they say, time flies when you're having fun. I'll take that as a compliment.
Now, can you only get holy cow burgers in India? Or
I'll take that as a joke. Tom, you have a book? Yes. I posted this in the East Meets West forum, but I wrote a book, started it in 1993, finished it in 96, 97 really. Got it e-published in 1999. It took like a year to get through edit. Was put up in 2000 on crossroadspub.com, which immediately went out of business. Not quite immediately, but fairly shortly thereafter.
Right when you touched it.
Yeah.
It was a kiss of death.
It was dot-com bust time. I timed it really wrong. So it was a book about the breakup of the United States into separate countries.
Yep.
Yep. More to come on that. And then happy 4th of July. Thank you, Andy. Jill. It is Jill.
Jill, yes. And not Il.
Just, and in fact, I think that's all she says in her post. Another great show. I highly agree with Andy. It went by fast. By the way, my name is Jill with a J. I guess the link thingy cut off the bottom of the J. One last thing. Go Portugal.
Woohoo.
Sorry about that, Jill. Sorry about having confusion over your name, and sorry about Portugal.
Yeah.
Udayan, our amazing for free artwork manufacturer, who we dearly appreciate, says, "Hey, guys, back to England. It's not a one-man team. The team is very well-rounded, but your point that they didn't have Rooney and Beckham is valid, since those two and Owen are very important in penalty shootouts. Rooney is out for two following matches, which would have meant semifinal and final. In effect, a red card during a quarterfinal is devastating. As for Rogers' man versus animal idea, fighting sports, that is so Caesar."
What are you talking about? I think a lot of civilizations, I think the Romans just managed to take it into an event. They took it from a local sport.
They made it a sport.
They made it an event. There's a difference between a sport and
a sporting event.
Yes. Well, no, I'm talking like, you know, big, regal. You know, if you think about it, like...
They made it worth watching.
Yeah, they pumped so much excitement into it.
And also, the paper. East Meets West 30 artwork features Oakland buildings.
That's actually kind of looks like an album cover. That's great.
Yeah, it's really, really well done. It gets better every week.
Yes.
Soon
one day it'll be so good that no mortal eyes can lay.
It will burn the retinas. Loving number 29, especially Tom's snakes on a plane joke. I was thinking the same thing too. Roger mentioned the screensavers in passing. I was wondering if you could talk about your experiences at Tech TV and what it was like when G4 took over.
You know, I'll be honest.
we talked about this once on East
Meets
West before.
But I don't think we talked about it at length.
We
did a couple of passing comments.
Yeah, we passed by it. It's a sore spot.
You know, it is what it was, and for a lot of people, it was kind of like the sign, especially in my mind, to like move on. But as to the day-to-day nature of what everyone did, it didn't change all that much since, for the most part, my entire time under G4 was still in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Pre-move. And I guess after that, you would have to ask, you know, the people actually went down there.
It changed my day-to-day job dramatically because they decided to pull the plug on techtv.com, which is what I was in charge of the content for techtv.com. They pulled the plug on that as of end of May. I can't remember the exact date. It was like 29th, 30th, mm-hmm. something around there. And decided to try to import all our content from techtv.com into g4tv.com, which didn't happen right away. So they got a little bit of content into g4tv and made a bunch of sites for the shows on techtv that were going to be sticking around. And then there wasn't really much left for us to do for the last month and a half. Because they didn't want us really working in their content system too much, since most of us were going to be laid off rather than going down to LA.
I mean, call for help was pretty much axed at that point. So yeah. No one at that point, everyone on the show was kind of, you know, okay, this is going to be the last show.
Yeah.
I mean, most of the time, you know, after that point, I was asked to stay on to help screensavers until the move, and I filled in for Patrick because Patrick at that point was leaving instead of, you know, being part. I mean, they talked to me about joining the G4 staff down in LA, but the money that they were offering me for the work they wanted me to do didn't really equal out, so I kind of passed on it.
Yeah, well, it wasn't with the money with me. I was offered to go down to LA. I really just didn't want to move down to LA. And the direction they were taking the website, they were cutting it back. They were de-emphasizing it a little bit.
It wasn't
enough to really change my mind.
I was pretty aware that that would all happen, and I was willing to at least be along with it to make sure it went smoothly and all that. But, you know, at that point, it was more an issue of, okay, well, this is more about, like, what I can get out of it. I mean, it's kind of the first time I've really kind of said, okay, what do I get out of this?
Mm-hmm.
And apparently not much. So
yeah.
I said,
anyway,
the
more positive part of the question, the experience at Tech TV, it was up and down. You know, there were definitely parts when we were all very, very upset with decisions or things. But overall, it was a great group of people. It was really fun. And some of the best times I've ever had at a job.
For a TV, and I'm gonna say this, for a TV station or a TV broadcast network, Tech TV was almost kind of anachronism. It was not a thing that people do anymore. It was actually very tight-knit because a lot of the people that helped start it up were people that have worked, you know, for a lengthy period together. And, you know, for example, when a show went off the air, they would try to find work for those people elsewhere in the network if they could, yeah. Then they let you go. But oftentimes you don't see that.
The networks very much work on a production freelance basis now, where you work on a show for a series, and if it gets renewed, you might get asked back to work on that show again. But you go on hiatus at the end of every season. Tech TV didn't work that way. Tech TV had a staff, and it used that staff to produce a lot of shows.
And in many respects, Tech TV followed a very news-oriented model, mm-hmm. so it would not be out of place for, say, a Dateline or a news-oriented or magazine-style show that had, you know, a certain number of predetermined episodes built in. But no, it was a great. Yeah, you know, again, if, you know, on the down points there were, you know, there were plenty of those, but a lot of the high points were also, you know, amazing. Like being able to go to a lot of the dot-com parties, uh-huh. like especially me. You know, at that point, I was still kind of like eking out a living.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God, people spent money on this. Like when I went to the, Ask Jeeves
uh-huh.
party at Ruby Sky. And yeah. Ruby Sky is this really posh nightclub that's actually invitation. You have to be on a list to get in.
Yeah.
And I got in and it's like, oh my God. It's like, it was an amazing place. They had like a humidifier for cigars upstairs in the billiard
room.
Those
were the days.
They had a free open a host bar, everything, mm-hmm. not just a well, but everything, and it was amazing, and it was all capped off with Elvis Costello being a corporate shill and playing for the SG's folks. But it was cool.
Anyway, thanks, JC. That's the best we'll answer today. But who knows? We might answer differently on another day. He also says big thanks for the Real Deal podcast about setting up your own podcast. I managed to do one at Geeks on a Plane, plain.blogspot.com. It's about snakes on a plane and other geek stuff.
Ooh.
Good for you. I'm glad it helped.
Teach a man to fish.
Yeah, yeah. Actually, a few people have said that they
and he'll be your competitor in about 3 months.
They started podcasts after I did the How to Do a Podcast podcast. How meta. But I'm glad it was helpful. I wasn't sure how many people would actually do it. Comment by Christopher. To continue the geek debate, I've always preferred nerd myself. Why? Consider the source. Etymology of geek. Probably from English dialect, geek, geck, fool. From Low German, geck. From Middle Low German, a carnival performer often billed as a wild man whose act usually includes biting the head off a live chicken or snake.
Hey, if you're true.
Ozzy Osbourne's a geek.
Didn't he bite one off a bat, though?
Whatever. Chicken, snake, bat.
I bit the chicken thigh after it was cooked in some nice batter.
And then the second definition is a person often of an intellectual bent who is disapproved of. Webster gives us this for nerd. Etymology, perhaps from nerd, a creature in the children's book If I Ran the Zoo by Dr. Seuss, an unstylish, unattractive, or socially inept person, especially one slavishly devoted to intellectual or academic pursuits. Which would you rather be, someone who bites heads off chickens or a Dr. Seuss character?
You know, both descriptions are actually incredibly unappealing.
You know, biting heads off animals, it's underrated.
You know what, though?
Say overrated, but
I'm sure you'd probably be a lot more popular if you could bite the heads off a live chicken and like at a kegger or something.
And speaking of eating the heads of chickens, as for your recent discussion of McDonald's overseas, I would suggest reading Golden Arches East, a collection of essays by cultural anthropologists describing the way that McDonald's had to adapt to enter different East Asian markets and the impact McDonald's had on those markets. Fascinating stuff.
If you go to a Japanese McDonald's, I mean, there's probably two items you'd recognize. Everything else is really catered. And, you know, and the thing is, you know, a lot of people kind of harass McDonald's as the ultimate fruition of American globalized, you know, commercial interest. But you know what? For the most part, pretty much every McDonald's you see outside of the U.S. is a franchise. That means the person who manages actually owns the place. They basically bought a portion of the McDonald's family.
You know, as with the media and the ability of the media to set the agenda of national debate, the power of globalization that corporations have is overestimated. Not saying it's not there.
No, no.
But it's overestimated. It's you can't produce the same thing everywhere around the globe and have it succeed.
No, you know why? Because people tried that like 5 years ago. Ford tried to do the world car.
Yeah.
Basically, they would build...
I thought it was longer ago, actually.
5-6 years. Yeah. Basically, if you have a Ford Contour or a Mercury Mystique, or as like some avid fans like to call it, the Mercury Mystique, that was part of the world car. They built that same car in Europe. They built that same car in South America and East Asia. And you know what? It would kind of sucked.
And it's even true within the United States. I mean, you go to a McDonald's in Hawaii, it's going to be different than if you go to a McDonald's in North Dakota, which is different than a McDonald's in Florida.
True. And, it's so funny because oftentimes people say, yeah, you know, I don't want to eat there. And I'll admit I had that attitude when I was Australia, but it's like, dude, I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I need to eat now. So I went to McDonald's. I was like, oh my God, this burger actually tastes like a burger with real meat and cheese because all the suppliers are local. Though, you know, just because American suppliers like using soy patties and then, you know, fried, then frozen, and then reheated and served out.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they all do that.
In other words, the kind of McDonald's you have is somewhat a reflection of your culture, not just McDonald's.
True. And you know what the second biggest market for McDonald's outside of the U.S.?
What?
Guess. Of all the places.
Germany.
No, close. Next to Germany.
France?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's ironic, but that's...
McDonald's?
It's the second...
Big Mac. They call it the Big Mac.
What was that one in...
Fiction.
Yeah.
Salutations, Tom and Roger. This is Kevin C. Glad you enjoyed my randomly random thoughts. As a token of my appreciation, here are some more randomly random thoughts. World Cup semifinal games weren't that exciting since we were dealing with four really good teams and no underdogs, which means we won't see any Cinderella stories. Italy versus Germany was pretty boring since they were both at equal strength for the entire game until the near end, where the Italians scored two goals at the last minute. As for Portugal and France, maybe a few unfair calls added some sort of level of excitement, but overall the game was boring. Yeah, the French scored a goal, but via penalty shot. What's the excitement in that? At this point, I don't care who wins the World Cup. I'll go either way. It was good while it lasted. Sorry, Roger, your band name, The Average Garcias, almost sounds like a canceled Latino-themed CBS or ABC.
Why does it have to be canceled? Explain to me why
so
it has
bad,
to be canceled.
It couldn't succeed.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Perhaps a good name would be something random that makes completely
sense. And what
no
about the George Lopez
like
show?
Lobster Bisque. The George Lopez show was called George Lopez Show, hence it wasn't canceled so fast.
Oh, so
like The Average Garcias.
What about it was the Amazing Lopez?
For your band name?
No. Do you think that would have been canceled?
I think the question
I'm just wondering if there's any kind of, you know, cultural stereotype. Oh, what? It's because it's The Average Garcia and not that.
Maybe it's the average part. Because sitcoms are always trying to have their heroes be like the average guy.
Uh-huh.
Like King of Queens, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe
that's what did that get canceled, though? Did that show get canceled?
I know. I think he's just riding you.
Uh-huh. I don't think he should have been canceled. I can understand the sitcom. I don't agree with the canceled part.
Anyway,
the pilot hasn't even been shot yet.
Random thought number three from Kevin C. In regards to the holy grail of dieting known as Roger Chang diet, have you tried publishing it for free via Lulu.com? According to the guys at Lulu, you can set up, publish, and sell your book easily within minutes with no setup fees. Give it a shot. I think you should.
All right, I'll think about it. You know, it's a page.
We can stretch it into a brochure.
A pamphlet.
A pamphlet. Actually, speaking of Lulu, Kevin C. Inspired me to go take my book that I was mentioning earlier in the podcast
and
publish it on Lulu. It did not take minutes. I had to reformat it to look good in book form, and then I had to do an edit, and then I had to choose cover art. So,
do you have the large font type for people with?
No, but if it starts to catch on, maybe I'll put out a separate large print version. But it was pretty easy. I mean, it wasn't minutes, but it was still pretty easy, and it's up there, you know, for nothing. It didn't cost me anything to put it up there. So hey, you know what?
That's
at least
cool.
I can have a copy.
Hey, you know, as long as you're happy, I'm not going to disagree.
You know, everyone else that I mentioned this to, Roger, said, oh, I'll buy a copy.
Yeah. And hey, listen, I have a Chinese mother. You can't guilt trip me into anything.
Doug Walk says, you guys are a blast to listen to. Thank you. Woo-hoo. Just a couple of old friends talking about mildly interesting stuff.
Wait. Why is it not? Why can't it be just a couple of mild friends who are talking
just
about
average
old stuff?
Garcia's. Very fun to pop in on the old iPod and take the dog for a walk. Have to get around to updating my old website, but here is the one page that I still get a kick out of. And I think I tried to load that, and I got a page not found from GeoCities. So
I think,
let me try it again. No, I looked at it earlier, and I got nothing.
No, is this the...
This is Doug Walk's...
technology for country folk?
Oh, yeah. Loaded this time. Making a wood stove hot, log off, too much wood on the fire. Good stuff.
Yeah.
And thanks for the podcast, and of course, and of your endeavors, Buzz Out Loud, The Real Deal, WNN, and Twit. What's WNN?
World, what's new now? You don't know what WNN is?
Oh, what's new now? Okay.
It's Jim Lauterbach.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. We'll just skip by real quick.
No. not at all. I wasn't hip to the acronym yet. Because I'm surprised they didn't mention DLTV, but you don't actually appear on DLTV all that often.
Not yet.
Not much.
I'm not aiming to, but there are forces that are working.
You guys really know how to stay busy.
Stay busy.
Yeah. Well, with all these appearances and podcasts and whatnot. What's new now? Okay.
Yeah, what is new now?
See, I'm giving it lots of attention. What are you talking about?
I'll be trying to buzz out loud. Oh, let's go.
I went right past that one. I didn't even stop on that one. That's the one I should be talking about the most, right?
Hey. Only one of us can be the big L.
Timothy says, props to Udayan for the polished EMW episode artwork. For added flair in any EMW combat, iPod Nanos could be the designated weapons, and the Star Trek fight theme would, of course, serve nicely. And then he points to a picture of the Spock and Kirk battle. Classic. But did you hear about the iPod Nano, the guy who told people how to kill with an iPod Nano?
No.
There was a blog about that.
Explain. How does one kill with iPod?
It was a defensive, a guy who knows like the defensive arts. So it was basically just your standard defensive arts, but you're holding an iPod Nano. It reminded me of 50 Ways to Kill People with Fruit.
I thought maybe you turned it into like an electrical discharge device, like a stun gun. Mm-hmm. But if he's using it in lieu of, I don't know, another hard object.
Well, it seemed like it to me.
Da, 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 da. Actually, I had my buddy and I in college had this great idea to do a documentary of like maybe elephant seals or whatever. And when the males come up to battle each other for the right to mate with the rest of the seals, we'd play the Star Trek fights music.
Uh-huh.
You know, and we would do these really kind of absurd cutaways and like swing around the cameras. And maybe get one of the seals to flip around or something in a very aerobatic.
Are seals easy to work with?
I don't know, but it would have been funny.
Yeah, it would have been.
That's the key.
Good times. Clint says, I was thinking about the whole band name thing, and I have to agree with Kevin C. that the average Garcia's... Well, hold on. The average Garcia sounds like a brilliant but canceled sitcom.
Canceled? Why is it always canceled?
One of the most creative band names I've ever heard was from some guys I went to high school with whose band was named Diddley and the Squats. Anyway, I was thinking about a place to get some good random band names, and a great place would be like a science or physics textbook. Who wouldn't want to be named after an organelle or a subatomic particle? Something like the vacuoles or enzyme and the substrates. How about Mr. Neutrino, the gamma rays, or mathematical induction?
What about Planck's?
They might be giant song titles.
Yeah.
Actually.
The Planks. I like the Planks. The Planks Constant.
Mr. Neutrino. I could totally see a song called Mr. Neutrino.
The Moles.
Actually, I think the last
three. See, the Moles would work.
The last three are songs by the first two. Like the Vacuoles probably did Mr. Neutrino, and then Enzyme and the Substrates recorded Mathematical Induction. That's an album title, Mathematical Induction.
What about the Zygotes?
The Zygotes. They opened for the Vacuoles at the Paramount. Uh-huh. I remember seeing them. Yeah. Timothy says, in another small twist, Jose Ramos Horta will become the new East Timor Prime Minister. What other heads of state have been Nobel laureates? Woodrow Wilson, Mandela Gorbachev, who's a new person that I just merged. No, Woodrow Wilson, Mandela Gorbachev, Anwar Sadat, and Begin Rabin. What about Vaclav Havel?
Was he?
Did he win a Nobel, or was it just a Pulitzer? I think he just won a Pulitzer.
Don't remember.
Vaclav Havel, the author, the writer, who was Czech. No, nothing. You got nothing.
Nothing.
You got
that.
Nothing on Havel. All right.
I have no Havel to give.
And then there's my posting about the book. And then Tet said, "Hey, Tom and Rogers, I'd just like to comment on sending off Rooney's. Just after the foul, Cristiano Ronaldo of Portugal went over to the ref and said something, and Rooney pushed him, and Rooney got red carded. Right after that, Ronaldo winked at the Portugal bench, and no action was taken against it or the constant diving and play-acting by Portugal and many other teams. And FIFA just banned Rooney for 2 international games. Portugal should be the last to complain about the penalty. I love every episode. Roger, you and your witty comments should make an appearance on Cranky Geeks."
No. They've talked about it, but I didn't know.
Why not?
I don't know.
Dorek won't let you, or you just don't want to go?
Depends on what the topics are.
Uh-huh. You want to be on Buzz Out Loud?
Actually, I have to shoot. I have to. You know what? I could, but you're competing company.
I've been on Cranky Geeks. Why couldn't you be on Buzz Out Loud?
I don't know. It's probably because I'm one of the few people in our very small group.
You're just afraid to go back in that building. I know.
Hey, whatever, man. Whatever.
And then we got about 3 postings today in after the World Cup final. So if you're listening to this right away on Sunday, this is a spoiler warning. We're going to talk about the World Cup final now. So you may just want to pause and come back to the rest of the podcast later if you haven't watched the World Cup final. Is that okay. Enough of a spoiler alert?
No, if I understand it, can we now continue with the...
Now we're going to go.
We're past the threshold.
This is your last chance. Udayan, comment number 14. Italia!
Yeah, because what's his name? One of the players,
Zinedine Zidane.
Yes,
one of the greatest.
He got
soccer
red carded.
Players. Definitely one of the greatest French soccer players. One of the greatest soccer players ever. Got red carded for headbutting.
Yeah, he headbutted. Well, from what I understand, the player he headbutted actually said something to him, and while no one knows what he said, rumors that perhaps it was of a racial nature.
Oh, like your Bordeaux is no good.
Well, he's Arab, right?
Zinedine is?
Yes.
Oh, I think you're right. I think he's of Arab descent. Okay.
So, you know, a lot of, you know, French have perhaps, you know, maybe some off-colored remark was made either at him directly or perhaps his parentage. Or
yeah, but it's the World Cup final, man. Is. As hard as that is, you can't get yourself red carded.
No, I'm not excusing. I'm just saying that's. I'm just trying to play it out here.
Timothy writes, "Ah, Zidane, you broke my heart. An inglorious end for a glorious player." Well put.
And Zidane is, you know, for a player, he's at the kind of, you know, the silver end. Is he not? Like, he's 38. So
this was going to be his last World Cup for sure. Yeah.
So
he's
now,
not coming back.
So now he looks toward a future of coaching, I guess, or training.
I don't know. After that little episode, who knows what?
Well,
you
know, but I mean, he may have headbutted, but I mean, doesn't mean he's any less of a trainer.
No,
or coach.
No, but he may be blackballed a little bit for a while.
He might be blackballed internationally, I'm sure within France or maybe even in
somebody will want his talents,
yes,
is what you're
exactly.
saying, and that's true. Final comment from Kevin C. Zidane equals sore loser. Argentinian soccer team equals bunch of sore losers. Soccer equals football equals kick a spherical object into a lattice structure known as a net.
Yes.
Very true. Very.
How
very,
can I argue
that
with
last
that?
Last part, very true.
Although, honestly, I think it's just an analog version of a Pong.
Yeah, you know, it really is derivative of Pong. it's as if 11 players
got shrunk down to
play
one.
Pong together.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we're starting to run out of time, but do you want to talk about the weather?
Yes.
Because that's always interesting.
Do you want to talk about relationships? I mean, we were talking
that's
about
true.
That.
That's true. We were talking about relationships. We only have like a couple minutes left. So sum up, in your opinion, the world of relationships for the people.
Painful and discomforting. But also good.
But also good. I don't know why, but also good.
Yes. Well, you know, it's prickly. It's prickly like a cactus. But if you get to the... Oh, wait. Is agave prickly?
A cactus is prickly.
Yeah.
Agave is also prickly.
But once you get to the middle of it, it's good.
Yes, sweet.
Yes.
I have to say that relationships are wonderful because, first of all, my wife's in earshot, but I also believe it.
But your wife's also right across from me.
Yeah. But she's not going to be mad that you are bitter.
Who said it? Why am I bitter? I'm just explaining my particular viewpoints.
Yeah, and going after the attainable was the other thing we were talking
about. Yeah, like, you know, it was kind of funny. We were commenting about about something and about attainable and unattainable significant others. Yeah. I say, well, why is that unattainable for that person? Is it unattainable for that person or unattainable in general?
Well, describing why someone might be unattainable to someone else is always, that's a tough row to hoe. There, but
interesting
the fact
that
of the matter
you threw
is,
the word "hoe" in.
Pretty much, for every person, there are some people who are unattainable.
So you're saying that some people are basically on a sliding scale.
Well, that's the problem when you talk about relationships is trying to break it all down into, you know, measurable quantities.
Roger, really love can't be quantified.
Yes, exactly.
It cannot be quantified. Although your wedding, your honeymoon, your housing costs for braces when your kids come out.
Tax breaks.
Well, you do get a tax
cohabitation
break.
Savings.
Well, you know, the whole, and I know we're running short on time, but the whole tax system in the U.S. is actually centered around home ownership.
Home ownership, yeah.
Homer ownership. So, yeah, so, you know, if you can, try to pick up a piece of property and list it.
Yeah, don't worry about marrying anyone. You get penalized for marrying.
Yes.
Yeah, just buy a house together. All right, that's not really what I think, but that's all the time we have. So
love advice from Tom Merritt.
Blame it anymore. That'll be the next book after the Roger Chang Guide. See you later, folks.
Bye.